It is, if you like, it's dealing with man's wisdom, that carnal wisdom, that wisdom of the world. The cross deals with that. And so, as the cross deals with that wisdom, man's wisdom, so he renews our mind. And he casts it down, which he says you're to do. You're to cast down those thoughts, those imaginations, those evil things. What's he talking about? Well, it's man's ways, man's wisdom. Oh, that's a good idea. Have you ever said that one or heard that one? Of course we have, many times. But God says, I cast that down. Because it's not a good idea in my sight. Maybe to you, maybe ministering to your pride, that independent spirit, what you want to do. But God says, I cast that down. And if we keep the message of the cross focal, that cross which you also are to take up daily and to follow the Lord, he says, I deal with those good ideas that man, the world, follows after. And let's face it, we're bombarded with it, aren't we, each day? These good ideas, these good intentions. Whether it's in advertising, whether it's in the family, or family suggests, or mother suggests, or father suggests this, or whatever it is, we are bombarded with good ideas, with man's intentions. After all, these have been tested, haven't they? You know, there's wisdom behind that. For example, you know, or at least years back, I'm not sure it is today, but it was regarded years back that you saved money for a future, for a rainy day. You know, it's a wise thing to have money set aside for a rainy day. And the wisdom and mind of God comes right across and cuts right across that and says, no, you're going to walk by faith. In other words, he says, you're not going to trust, put your trust in those things that you are saving up for. Now, God can have in the church those who have money, but he's going to work with them that their trust is not in that money, in that nest that they have. Now, each of us is different. We walk a different walk. We come out of different circumstances, different situations. But whatever your status, whatever your background, you are still to walk by faith. We're told in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so by learning the promises of God's word, as we get into them, as we open them up, they're actual, they're real. These promises in God's word are more real than your flesh in this world, which, if the Lord were to tarry, is going to pass away. We'll go back to dust. So that just shows how real, in comparison to eternity, the flesh of man is. And yet look at all the attention that we place on the flesh, as though it's going to live forever. You know? It's all right, friends, you've got dominion over it. It's more frightened of you than you are of it. All right? So, we come back to this walk of faith. The wisdom and the mind of God. For Paul comes, he says, I preach this message. And it's foolishness to most. But it is eternal life to others who are prepared, willing to believe this foolish message to the eyes of the world. And that is why you are regarded as foolish. That is why you are outcast. That is why you will not and do not fit into this world. And yet we still try to. We still want to go along. We want to be part of it, to partake of it. But the cross cuts right across on this. Because God says, I destroy the wisdom of the wise. Now that is our problem that we have with faith. We still have problem in areas of believing God, because the mind still says that isn't wise. Is it wise to throw away your pills, your medicine, whom the doctor's given to say that you will be healed by these? Is that wise to do that? We still battle with it, because we're still more influenced by the wisdom of the world. Is it wise to trust God and to walk by faith for your finances when you know that all those bills come in month after month or whatever it is? What do you believe? What do you believe? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So is it wise to trust God? Well, you make that choice, don't you? You can decide whether you're going to believe the wisdom of God or the wisdom of the world. Your parents, education, what you see, what you feel, what you smell, what you touch, what you hear. You see, God's word, this wisdom that the world cannot give, is totally, completely contrary to everything about you and to what you see, your experience in this world, and so on. And so God says, if you choose to believe this, it is the desire of your heart, then God will teach you it. And not only will he teach you it, but he says that the cross is the power of God unto salvation. And so he shows us that the very power, the very resurrection that is attached to the cross, that not only raised Christ from the dead, but also will raise you, it is that very same power that is in operation right now, this moment, this second, while I'm speaking, this very moment. There has to be a power in operation. And that power that lies in the cross, which is foolish to the world, but is the wisdom of God, is the key to walking totally by faith. Because it's that that destroys that wisdom that hinders you in believing God and experiencing God and trusting God. And of course, let's take it in the area of healing. That's one of the big ones. At times we may see, well, why aren't we seeing the miracles that were in the early church, or what we see through Jesus or the apostle and so forth? I don't see much of it today. We certainly don't see much of it in full gospel assembly. It's wisdom. It's still that wisdom. The world. You're still believing the world's wisdom and its way. Do you know why? Because it's tangible. You can see it. You can touch it. You can read it out of books. You can hear it from people. It's easy. You can look it up in a dictionary, encyclopedia, or on the internet. Easy. You have to pay a price when you get in to receive it from the Word of God. And you see, every divine truth, every divine revelation that God gives to you, there's always a trial or a test or pain that is attached to it. And we don't like that type of wisdom. You see? But God's even made promises on that. He says, well, I won't let you be hurt above what you are able to bear. So I'll even have that under control. And he does. Now, of course, so much of what is propagated in our churches today is that they interpret through the worldly wisdom that trials is a chastening of God, or you've sinned and you're apostatizing, totally misinterpreting that to make it into the kingdom of heaven you go through much trial and tribulation. So they don't grow in faith. That humanistic wisdom hinders their faith. They can't really embrace and believe the promises of God. And so they will go to an easy route, an easy way, you see. God was really doing the same with the children of Israel. He called them as a nation not to walk the ways of the rest of the world that was around them. That wasn't God's mind. That wasn't God's plan. That wasn't God's will. In other words, that wasn't God's wisdom for Israel to walk that way. And we see that battle that they have. That battle that they want to be like the rest of the nations. And in the end, of course, we know that God let them have eventually a king. Because they kept having a problem with God as their king, as their saviour, leading them and guiding them, you see. There's the same problem. So how do we get through this? How do we overcome? Well, we have to stay with the cross. That is the key to the greater works. It is the key to receiving by faith these promises that God has made to us, that do not change, as Paul tells us. And it's the key to not looking to signs, looking to feelings, emotions, looking in the mirror. It keeps you looking to God. That is what the cross does. That is its nature. And every time that human wisdom tries to kick in, you're immediately challenged with the cross, the foolishness of God. And I think we're learning, aren't we, in this church, that when that human wisdom, logic, starts to try and take over, immediately there's a loss of peace. There's a confusion starts to set in. You begin to lose your way. You're no longer hearing any more from God and so on. This is what happens. And so you have to turn back. You have to come back and focus again on the Lord, on His word. And eventually you begin to get the message. You begin to realize that, it's no good me looking for answers. It's no good me turning to the arm of the flesh and getting advice and so on. Because all that promotes is confusion. Every time you turn to man for the answers, there's strife, there's confusion, there's loss of peace. You know it because you've done it. It's a fear that takes over. It's a confusion and so on. And so eventually we learn it. Eventually we realize that this walk of faith, there is no one else who can help. There is no one else who can provide, who has the answer. Now, if God, of course, does use someone, which He can, well, they're simply going to confirm to you what God is already saying and doing anyway, because He goes before. That is always one of the signs that I look for in my ministry, in my walk, is God confirming? Or am I searching for an answer? Then that's a clear sign unbelief is there. I'm not really trusting the Lord. Because I'm now at this point looking for human wisdom, man's intervention, man's help, and that in return is a form of idolatry. That is what this is. Every time we look to the arm of the flesh, to man's wisdom, that is idolatry. It's idolatrous in nature. It's looking for an alternative, for a different prop, you see. And that is why God deals with us heavily. God doesn't let us in this church get away with unbelief that is working. He will sooner or later deal with it. He will catch up with you in time, with all of us. And He has a way of dealing and exposing. And some have not really taken heed. They have not listened to what God has said, that you are to walk by faith, you are to trust me, you're not to rely upon the wisdom of man. We've seen how God's dealt with it. In a time, if they're not going to learn this, then God sadly has to put them to one side. And that can be anyone. That can be anyone. You know, one of the deceptions, if you like, of the enemy is, well, I've been all these years coming and I know I haven't got my act right and I know that this isn't right and God is speaking to me and so forth, but, well, we're all right, you know. After all, I've been coming 10 years, 15 years and so forth. That is the worst form of deception. The worst form of deception. When God is honing in our lives to get our act right together, you have to take it seriously. You cannot run away from it. You cannot push it under the carpet. You have to bring it out into the light and say, Father, you are getting my attention. This isn't working. This is an area where I'm falling so many times. And because I'm falling, I'm still applying that human wisdom. I'm still looking to man for that guidance, that strength. I'm not totally trusting you. But whatever this takes, please work this for your glory. And God will do it. And that will be your preserving. That will be your keeping a seat in this church. That will be the mercy of God in operation working with you. But some do not still seem to grasp that one. It is so simple, yet for some it can be so far removed. What is the hindrance? I come right back to the fact that it has to be the cross. The cross is not really wanted. The cross is still viewed in human wisdom. And if you look at it like that, then it is absolutely foolish. It is absolutely contrary to what you want, to your plans, to your life and so forth. Because the cross will always come and cut it all up, will foul up the land. Foul up the plans. Foul up what you want to do. You see, because what you want to do is in line with the world's wisdom and its ways. Its ambitions. After all, let's take an area. You've been brought up, you were educated to be ambitious. To do well. To succeed. To make a name for yourself. That is the world's way. That is what education is promoted on. That's what makes equality. That's what makes democracy. But God says he cuts right across that. He comes right across this and he says, you decrease that I increase. You serve and not be served. You the last of the queue and not the front of it. And that's what he comes with. He cuts right across it because that is his wisdom and that is his mind. And so as we said in this, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. And that is why we still have problems. That is why we're not breaking through in areas of faith. Because I'm not receiving the wisdom that comes from above. The wisdom that is ministered to me by the Holy Spirit. Or I am rejecting it. I don't want it. After all, that wisdom, I'm going to look foolish. I'm going to look ridiculous. If I follow that wisdom, nobody's going to recognize me. Nobody even will acknowledge that I've done all this work and I've laboured. I probably won't even get any thanks. I'm not sure I want that wisdom. That's the wisdom of God. And your faith worketh by that, it says. You see. So this is why we do not break through in areas of faith. And we know we don't because we hear it come out of our mouth. We not only hear the unbelief said, but the stress, the strife, the fear, and everything goes with that which you are saying, you see. And very often what is behind that is because we're having a problem with God's way, God's wisdom, you see. Now God's ways will always cut across everything that you encounter, whether it be at work, whether it's with your boss, your family, in your marriage, your children, or whatever it would be. The wisdom of God has to be applied, because when the wisdom of God is applied, faith is applied. Faith then is believing. In other words, you are submitting to God's way, which is faith. What is God's way? Well, God's way is to deliver you. God's way is to heal you. God's way is to restore you. God's way is to for you to have the mind of Christ. God's way is for you to at times to even be rejected, persecuted. That is God's way. That is God's wisdom. God's wisdom says, I come with a two-edged sword, and I come right down into the family, and I'm divided. That's God's wisdom. Do you fight against it? Or are you going to let that sword just simply do its work? Because it must execute, you see. That is the nature of God. We resist that God has a sword. Oh no, you can't tell me that. He's a God of love. He's a God of love. That's what I would hear if I took that to many denominations. How dare you say that? But that's the very thing Jesus did say. I come not to bring that peace that the world brings, but I come with a two-edged sword. And he goes even further and he shows where that two-edged sword is applied. First, right in the family. And he says, that is my mind. That is my wisdom. So that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. That's why. That's why. And so you see, as God's wisdom is applied, and many times it's applied by that sword, that two-edged sword. What is he actually doing? What does a sword do? Well, I'll tell you. A sword severs. A sword cuts. That sword deals with roots. He says, I come to cut you away from what is holy. See? And that is the wisdom and mind of God. Now, what can hold us? Well, this is why we have deliverance. And we're watching and seeing week after week those who are prepared to pay the price, come to the meetings, get under the word. We are watching this word, which is a sword, cutting and cutting away. And in that cutting there comes deliverances. And in that cutting at first there's pain, there's tears, there's anguish. Because what God is doing, God is trying to show you his wisdom against yours. Because man's wisdom is always connected with pride. The two go together. You can say pride, wisdom, wisdom, pride. It's the world's ways. See? And so he comes to bring that division, to cut, to divide. Yes, it's painful, but then after it, we grow the fruit that comes from it. We then see the peace. We then see the healing. We see Jesus. We know that he's done that work, and we know that it was essential, it was needed. Although you were resisting against it, you see. And in anything we have seen in this people life walk, it is a walk of deliverance. It's a walk in which God is restoring, restoring us back, ready for that manifestation. And that is not far away. That is not far away. But for this to be ultimately seen before we're taken away, we have to, in this life, totally walk by faith. And some of us still yet in this church are not walking
totally by faith. And God will continue to work this and work this. We can procrastinate on it. We can delay in it. We can pretend in it. We can come up with all sorts of excuses, but God will come back and he will continue to work and work and work till our wisdom is in the wisdom of God. It is in the wisdom of the cross that walking totally by faith in everything for God's provision. See, God doesn't want the world hindering him. God doesn't want the world influencing God doesn't want the world trying to educate you. Period. He doesn't want the world. If you want to know what God thinks about the world, read the book of Revelation. And you'll soon find out what God thinks about the world and the world's future and where it's going. Heading right now. God is going to have you to walk totally by faith, and that your faith works by love. So that you come to that place where you don't give thoughts, it doesn't matter, I don't care anymore. God is in absolute control. It doesn't matter what they're saying. It doesn't matter what the report. It doesn't matter how foolish this looks. It doesn't matter what father, mother, or aunt, uncle is saying. I am totally at rest, trusting him and him alone. Whatever the report, whatever, that is it. Can God do it? Yes. If you stay with the cross. And let the cross be daily what you take up. And let the Spirit of God do that work. Yes, we can, and we will walk that way. And you will just know that as you pray, Mark 11, 24, wherefore is everything you ask in her, believing when you pray, you receive. All those promises, you know God already knows it. Yes and amen in Christ Jesus. That is the rest that we have with faith. You will know when you're in faith. You will know when you pray in faith because of the rest that is attached to it. You know when you pray, when you believe, when you walk by faith, because constantly you are in that surrendering attitude. The flag is up. Surrender is there because that comes by the way of the cross. And that is why God is working inside of you and he's bringing you to the end of yourself in some areas. And so in the end you are sick and tired of struggling, fighting, going against the will of God or applying what you think is the wisdom to help God, to help you believe, to help him to work that faith in you. God doesn't want your wisdom, that wisdom. He doesn't want your help. In that way. God knows exactly how to put faith in you and me. And he doesn't need your advice. He doesn't need your opinions, your good ideas, nothing. He knows exactly how to work it. But he works and he works and will do his good pleasure. This is all about his good pleasure here this morning. This is God's good pleasure. He delights. His peculiar treasure set apart from him. That is the will of God, you see. And you can come from that place, a total rest. You know God will provide, he is providing, he will look after me, he will sustain me, he will keep me, he will nourish me, he will keep me from the arm of the flesh, he will keep me from the bailiffs of the door, and so forth. But sometimes he has to let your world, which you are building with your own wisdom still, he has to let that all come to an end. And let it crumble under your feet. And when you think you're just about telling others to sing with that song, then the mercy of God is there and he lifts you up. You see? And I know some of us, your world is crumbling. It's going under. And God has good reason for that. He has to break it. It is displeasing in His sight. It is your wisdom and not the wisdom of God. And therefore, it's the wisdom based in that you cannot get faith in the Word of God. Faith in the Word of God can only come by the wisdom of God and not the wisdom of men. If you want the wisdom of men, don't walk in. Just stay in a denomination. And that's what you do faith week after week. But if you want the wisdom of God, then it is foolishness to the world. It is completely contrary to the way man walks, the way man thinks, the way man acts. And what he does. Completely contrary. I'm still learning that one. You know, there's areas God is still. You get frustrated. Why is it not happening? Why? You know, just give me a break, Lord. He's not going to give me any break. That's the last thing he's going to give me. That's my wisdom. That's me. That's the wisdom of man. That's why man goes to the psychiatrist or whatever. Let's have a break. You know, let's celebrate. So what does he do? Right, let's go and get a holiday and go off somewhere for 2 weeks. No, for well, after 2 weeks, he's got to come back to it. I mean, this is stupid, isn't it? Or let's just go out somewhere and let's go out. You know, we've all done it, I've done it. Let's just shut the door and do something else. But I know that I go out and I do something, but I've got to go back and meet it. So that's all the while rumbling around underneath, isn't it? You know, you go on holiday, and you've got to come back to those problems with that rebellious sun, or whatever it is. And you go out somewhere, and you enjoy the sun, and have pleasure, and think, but underneath it's there, isn't it? It is nagging away. And you know, you get nearer to the end of 2 weeks, and you know, oh, I've got to go back to the door again, back to the ground. So, you know, God's us. When he does something fresh in your life, or he gives you something, or when he gives you that holiday vacation, you go utterly refreshed with not those nagging that are going on inside. There's a difference. There's a complete deliverance. There's a complete work. It's fresh. It's new. You see? Because God's ways are not our ways. When God does a work, he does a thorough work. When God does a deliverance, he does a complete deliverance. When he does a healing, he does a healing. Period. Because that is the wisdom and mind of God. When God does a work in your life and my life, it is a perfect work. Because God cannot receive imperfection. God cannot work in an imperfect right. God could not receive under old covenant an imperfect sacrifice. He had to be a lamb without blemish. And that is why he gave his son. He gave the absolute perfection of himself to the world without blemish. His son Jesus Christ. And that standard that is in Almighty God is a standard that still applies in you and me, in every work of healing, deliverance, teaching, experience, you name it. It is always a pure, complete, and holy work without flesh. That is the wisdom of God. It certainly won't be the wisdom of man. The wisdom of man said, oh, no, you can't really do a perfect work, but we'll do a patch up. And that's what psychologists do. People run to psychiatrists. People have got an answer. They may be able to diagnose. And very often they don't see that they're demons. But all they get out is some baggage. Let's just bandage it up. Let's just cover it up. See? They can't go to the roots. Medical science, doctors can't go to the root. Politicians can't go to the root. That's why they keep passing so many laws. When God takes hold of your life, he sets that standard. When God does a redemptive work, he sets the standard. And nothing will bear against that. Nothing will hinder it. Nothing will change God's plan, God's mind, or anything. What He has decreed for your life, for this church, my life, is a standard that no man can ever attempt or keep. It is perfect. It is without blemish. It is holy and righteous, because God can't receive it to Himself otherwise. You see, all those sacrifices that were given under Old Covenant, was God, when He accepted them, was receiving it back to Himself. That is why He says, my word goes forth and does not return to me void, but goes forth and accomplishes that wherewith I send it to. In other words, God cannot, if He's made a promise, He cannot have that return back to Him incomplete, unfulfilled. No way. The wisdom of man, or your unbelief might say it, oh well, you know, God didn't really mean it that way. Well, God will heal me through this way anyway. So, no, forget it. Whatever these promises, if you do not apply the man's wisdom to them, but you see these promises through the eyes of the cross, then you will see that they will go forth and they will not return void. They will not return unfulfilled, incomplete. That is not how God works. That's why we fall to the sovereignty of God. Now you see, the sovereignty of God isn't palatable in many churches. Because the sovereignty of God cuts right across the wisdom